understanding, first of all, who you are, not what society thinks they should be, not what their culture is telling them, or the religions or anything, telling them who they should be. Once they understand that, then it's what do you want and why? Anything that tells them differently, then we dissect that into limiting beliefs. Mm. You just have to ask yourself, is this true now? It could have been true 10 years ago or when you were little, or maybe you don't even know where it came from. It's okay. Just ask, is it true right now? And if it's not true, then you can change that belief.
This is A Joyful Rebellion, the podcast that explores that moment you realize the life and success you worked so hard to create didn't come with all the fulfillment you thought it would. I'm your host, James Walters, and I want you to be the author of your own story. Each week, I connect with people who inspire bold answers to the question, what do I do now to create a life I love? If you are ready to start answering that question for yourself, you're in the right place. So let's start A Joyful Rebellion. I love a good story where the hero overcomes some sort of adversity. In fact, a story without at least a little adversity isn't much of a story at all, because we love to conquer the external forces holding us back from our dreams. I've noticed recently, though, that outside of dramatic weight loss stories, I don't see many people shouting about how they overcame their own complacency in different areas of their lives. I can tell you from personal experience, complacency kills as many, if not more, dreams than adversity ever did. My guest today is Terry Sidford, a popular TEDx speaker, certified life coach, and author of her new book, Truth, Courage, Love. Terry helps people reach their greatest potential so they can achieve their goals and have a bigger impact on the ones they care about. Today, we talk about the courage it takes to face your truth and live up to your fullest potential, and the top five lies we tell ourselves that are holding us back. There are some folks who go through life with adversity, and it becomes obvious at some point to them that things need to change, but it takes courage to do that. And you talk a lot in your work about courage. In my experience, there's another set of people experiencing not really adversity so much as complacency. The stories I hear from those folks quite often is the same realization that something needs to change, and that change also requires a fair amount of courage. I know you've lived your joyful rebellion, which I love talking with people who have lived it and also help other people experience that journey for themselves. Tell us, what got you here? What got you talking at TEDx and writing books on the subject of courage?
It's an interesting journey. I had a dysfunctional childhood, I'll leave it at that. And I had low self-esteem. That led to making some poor life decisions. And it was one thing after the other, but I really fought to try to find myself through all of that. One defining moment was losing everything I had materially, emotionally, from a con artist boyfriend that I had met. It was a life-changing moment, and I always had a stable job, but I remember saving enough money to rent a room out of a house. I was just so happy that I had a room, but there was no furniture, nothing, not even a bed. And I was sitting on this floor looking at this horrible shag, chocolate brown, musty-smelling carpet. Close to my age, I think you get the picture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, how did I get here? How did I get here? I'm a good person. I was at the lowest of my lows. Then something happened. I realized that I had to take a good look at myself. And when I took a good look at myself, I saw the truth, my true self, which is that person that was strong, intelligent, loving, whole, and had a soul. And I knew that even though this man had taken away everything materially, and I didn't even know what the word courage was at this point. And I'll get there. But that was the defining moment for me. And it gave me the strength to keep going, because I knew no one could take this inside of me away. And there was a lot there. So anybody listening, just remember that. A lot of what you're seeking is already within you. And from there, I just started this steep uphill climb. Just took one step after the other. And I had a lot of people show up in my life. So that also helped me be strong. Now, let's fast forward. I got my life together. I did a lot of hard work on myself. And I became a pharmaceutical rep, had a great job, had a family, got married. And I just wasn't happy inside, but there was still something lingering. I became a life coach and started working with people. And I've been working with people for over 20 years and mostly women. So one day I was talking to a friend and telling her about all the women that I'd coached. And I said, they're so strong, but they don't know it. It's amazing what they do. I'm just curious about this. And she said, Terry, you should write a book. And coming from my dysfunctional family upbringing, I was horrible in school. I said, there's no way I could write a book. She said, I'll help you. So we wrote the book and I gathered a survey from 100 women on the subject of courage. We wrote my book, 100 Hearts. So that's how that all came about. So here's the story about courage and how I found it within myself. So I was out there doing the book signings and one lady in the audience said, Terry, tell me about how you've been courageous.
Oh, on the spot. Here we go.
Yeah, I was completely blank. Herod wrote a book about it. I coached women about it. I had many stories of courage, but did I see myself as courageous? No, I was just like these women. And it was one of those aha moments where I had to start seeing my stories and looking at my stories as, wow, I was resilient. I was strong. I survived. And that took courage. So this is how I found my courage. And from that point on, I did crazy things. I stepped out of my comfort zone and have done things I never even dreamed possible. And it comes back to something you just talked about in the very beginning. You said the people that are complacent.
Yes.
Because I think they're afraid to go to that place of the unknown, but that's really where the magic happens in your life. And courage is facing whatever's in front of you and keep going. And that's my best answer to tell everyone that where I've been, I've created things I never imagined possible. And I'm living my dream life. Things aren't perfect. I just want you to know that. Life isn't perfect. It's not meant to be.
That was your first book, The 100 Hearts. And last year you came out with another book. It's called Truth, Courage, Love. So you've been talking a lot about you found your truth. Then when you were at the book signing, you realized you needed to find your courage. You already had it. You just needed to recognize it, it sounds like.
Yes, correct.
And that gets us up to the courage part. What got you writing about all three of those things together? And what created the book that came out just last year?
It was, well, a milestone birthday. It made me reflect on my life. I had already done a TED Talk and told some of the stories that I never told anybody growing up. And I thought that was super brave. I also realized there was many other stories in my life that I had not shared with people or the world. And then it was time to do a memoir and really be proud and own all of it. After this birthday, I asked my questions to myself about, have I lived my full potential? Do I have any regrets? Have I left this world and the people in it better by being in it? That's when I realized I was surprised with the answer that it was yes. And I realized I wanted to tell all my story and how I overcame adversity and learned valuable lessons from everything. And it led me to where I am today, living my best life without regrets. And I want to share that with the world and give them hope that they can too.
That's really powerful. And that leads me to ask the question, because I started reading the book and it sounds like your life was perfect till you were about 5. You had a really nice run. Then 5 years old hits and things get crazy. But I'm curious, you talk a little bit about going from victim to superhero in your own story. I'd love to talk more about that. But did looking back on all of those events you were telling in the book and all the things that happened around you, did you make a mental shift that those things didn't happen to you? They were just happening around you. And maybe at the time they felt like they were happening to you. But can you talk a little bit about any shifts, maybe mindsets you had 20 years ago about that situation and how you maybe think differently about it now, given all the work that you've done?
All the work that I did, it started with feeling like I had all the tools. I found my truth. I had everything, right? I got this. But then there was something that was still bothering me about my childhood and my mother, because I didn't have my mother around. And she kept herself distant. And she did recover and went back to school to become a registered nurse, but she always kept herself distant. And I went to Al-Anon. If anybody doesn't know what that is, it's like AA, but for adult children of alcoholics. So it's the 12 steps, but for adult children, because we take on some of their characteristics or we have our own characteristics because of it. And that really helped me take some responsibility for my life and how I responded to life. So that was the first step. Then, so I thought, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing well. There was still one thing I was struggling with, and that was blaming my mother for my low self-esteem. Anything that went wrong, it's because I didn't have a positive mother figure in my life. I didn't know how to do my hair or my makeup. I didn't know how to go shopping for clothes. I didn't understand this. I didn't understand anything. I even have close relationships with some women. I was just kind of like friends. So I decided to go to a counselor. I've never done this before. I need help. And she curiously looked at me and said, no, I know it's been painful for you your whole life. Well, I'm just curious. I wonder how your mother felt battling her addiction, going back to school to become a nurse and losing your children. That must have been devastating.
Yeah.
There, she just gave me a new perspective. And in that moment, I had this warm feeling come over my body, around my heart, and I felt love, compassion, and forgiveness. And from that moment on, I started to call my mom and tell her how much I loved her without expecting anything in return. She started to call me back, and we forged a very close, loving relationship that has continued to this day. That was the mind shift of taking responsibility for my life and how I respond to life and anything that's happened to me.
That is a great story, because that's something you can really point back to, that moment, which led to doing the work on yourself and doing the work on your mindset and shifting it, something you enjoy doing with other people now. What would you say are the most common things you work on when you have someone come to you and say, gosh, Terry, I'm having this block? Or maybe they don't even know they have a block yet. They just start spilling their story and you reflect to them, hey, this is what I'm hearing from you. Do you think maybe, then you fill in the blank, whatever that is. What would you say 6 or 7 times out of 10, the thing you talk about the most with other women?
Great question. And I have been doing this long enough to where it really does boil down to a few things. And it's understanding, first of all, who you are. And a lot of times I'll call those values or the characteristics of who this person is, not what society thinks they should be, not what their culture is telling them, or the religions or anything telling them who they should be. It's understanding who they really are, separate from all of that. Once they understand that, then it's what do you want and why? And getting really clear on those things. And then anything that tells them differently, then we dissect that into limiting beliefs. And you don't really even have to know where they came from. You just have to ask yourself, is this true now? It could have been true 10 years ago or when you were little, or maybe you don't even know where it came from. It's okay. Just ask, is it true right now? And if it's not true, then you can change that belief by just changing it to a true belief. And then it's a habit. It doesn't sometimes happen overnight, but it becomes a habit, and eventually it becomes a part of them, this new belief. And we don't inspect what we're thinking. We have so many thoughts going through our head. It's a habitual thing. So you have to slow down enough to find out what you're even thinking.
Yeah.
Right. So meditation, being in present time, learning how to do that. I think I've given you too many things, but those are like the three basic things.
Let's talk about limiting beliefs, because earlier you said that you for years had a limiting belief that you disproved to yourself when you wrote that first book. You had this limiting belief that, oh, there's no way I could do that. If you had to give a top 5 list of limiting beliefs that you hear all the time and you struggle to not roll your eyes, oh my gosh, okay, I know you believe this, but I've seen so many other people disprove it to themselves that I know it's not going to be true for you for long. Is there a top 5?
I'm not good enough. Big one. I'm not strong enough. I don't know. I believe people do know. If they take the time, they can find the answers. I don't know how. Things like that. Is it 5? Okay, how many?
It's not a strict 5, but
something in that realm. It's really interesting.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of self-worth maybe by the programming that they've received over the last couple of decades, at least.
Yes. Yeah. Even failure. Failure is a big one. They can't get over some of their failures either. That haunts them.
When people do reach out to you, are they looking to redeem that? Or are they looking to redeem themselves? Or are they just wanting to break off the chains, that they just want to throw that off? And do they want to be someone else, or do they want to be just a better version of themselves?
They usually want to be better versions of themselves.
Okay.
And they just don't know how. And all I do is ask them curious, powerful questions and hold this beautiful space for them to come up with those answers themselves. There's nothing more powerful than that.
I would imagine, because you do a lot of speaking, when you finish, I would think that you get a lot of people who come up to you at the end of a talk and say, oh gosh, you were talking about my story. Because so many of us have things in common. We don't all have the same story, but there are a lot of human nature things that happen throughout life that we do have in common that people can latch on to. So when someone does walk up and you've inspired them and they're already there because they want to explore their journey, they want to work on themselves, but then they start telling you their story and they tell you how they've felt held back in their life, what's your go-to response, or what's a common response you would give that person? Because you're in the middle of a lot of people. It's not like you're one-on-one. It's not an intimate,
yes,
non-distracted moment. So what is something you would say to that person that makes them feel seen and heard and validated, but also understanding you can't spend the next hour with them?
I think you hit it right on the nail on the head. I really want them to feel that they were heard. It is very vulnerable for them to tell me anything like that. It's something about their story. And I've had that happen many times. I really understand you. I really get you. And also then try to get in just a little snippet of hope. I was there too. I understand that. I get that. And there is a possibility. There's a way out, or there's a future here for you. I can do it. You can do it. Like, if I can write a book, you can write a book. I've had kids come up to me even when I was doing book signings that wanted to write a book. And I'm like, yes, you can. You can do it.
Totally. Get started.
I was a horrible speller. So yeah, I try to give a lot of hope there.
Yeah.
And the possibilities for
and
them.
And that's great. You don't have to know how to spell anymore. It's technology does that for you. It's amazing. You just have to have great thoughts that you can string in some sort of order to where people can understand them.
Exactly. Then we have AI for that.
Yeah, it's not quite that simple. I know. But at the same time, you do want to talk with people. I'm wondering if there's a story you could share about a transformation that you've seen unfold. Maybe it was a dire situation, or maybe a situation where someone just truly didn't believe they could get from where they were to where they dreamed about being, that maybe even inspired you. Do you have a story like that?
I had this one client years ago who told me about this dream she had. And again, she was one that would tell me all these accomplishments that she has made throughout her life, even starting as a teenager. She won this event doing this. She was a chef around the world, sailing in a yacht at 19 or something.
Wow.
Yeah, her story was crazy. And here she had to tell me this dream that she didn't even feel good enough to share with anyone. And I was the first one that she told. And I said, okay, great. Let's do it. Is this what you want to do? Great. Let's find out what's getting in the way of you doing it. Now let's start our plan. Let's take it one step at a time. And then she eventually ended up doing this business. And it was one of the most proud moments I've had in my life to watch her overcome her own self-limiting thoughts and beliefs about herself and take action and make it happen. It was incredible. And it changed her whole life. It wasn't just her career. It was her whole life changed.
Yeah, because one thing will creep into the next. So if it's a business block and they disprove it to themselves, then the next thing, oh, wow, here's a problem in my personal life. Oh, I've done it before. I can come over here and do this. Do you find that there's a snowball effect when you help someone in one category of their life?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Every time. Every single time. Our life is made up of all these different pieces, and they all affect one another. Let's say they want to come in, they want to just work on their career. This definitely helps their own self-esteem, their own feeling of self-worth. That affects their relationships, their personal relationships, friendships, their quality of life. Everything changes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Or whatever you pick and you want to choose, work on your health. Any one of them, it does affect all areas of your life.
I'm always curious about the differences in these mindsets between men and women. And I know you mainly work with women. My sense is that women tend to be a little more integrated in their lives, whereas men, you might have your friends at the gym and they don't mix with your friends who maybe go out hiking with, and those don't mix with the people at work, and those don't mix with your family. So with the differences between men and women, have you worked with men who have come to you and said, hey, I've got these blocks and I don't know how to overcome them? Is there a difference in your approach?
Believe it or not, it's almost a little more simplified.
Okay.
Yes, it is. Because if they've already come, I know it's hard for men to actually come and get help like that. And I see that as such an empowering thing that they have done for themselves right off the bat, that it's an easy transition. But sometimes they're very analytical too. And I have to get them out of their brain and get them more into their heart. So maybe that's the only challenge I see. It's a little more challenging because they're thinkers. There are a lot of them. Yeah. And I just try to get and connect the two to find the answers for them. But I really enjoy working with men. I do, because they come to me for the right reasons.
That's a perfect segue into, I was hoping you could explain a little bit more about the title of your book. I heard you start with truth. We've talked a little bit about courage. Then we just talked about the heart. And how do you bring love into that to wrap it all up? You gave the example of how you handled the situation with your mom and what's going on there now. So lead us through the different phases, the truth, courage, and love, and why they are in that order and how they all work together.
Thank you. That's a good question. Truth is facing reality, what's in front of you, what's inside of you. And that's what I had to use. I used that tool, finding my truth and looking at the truth, even if it's uncomfortable, to be able to take action or move forward. If I didn't see the truth, I would be not taking the correct actions or seeing the right thing, enabling me to go in a positive direction. So truth is huge. It's in an inquiry. It's asking yourself, what I'm thinking, is that true or not? Is that something I just decided to believe because someone else did or something happened to me? So truth is huge as a starting point. I couldn't be here with you without it. The truth saved me. And the truth connects you to yourself, and your ability to be strong comes from within. The core is a Latin word for courage, meaning heart. So when you connect to yourself and the truth, it allows you to take action and be more courageous. And being more courageous does connect you to your heart. They're all mixed together, really. But the more that you take action, face your fears, and keep going, the more courageous you'll be. And it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the easier it is to take action and be strong and courageous. And love, to me, is a universal solvent to almost anything, because it really connects us to our truth, our core yeah. heart. It brings us to our highest level of who we are. Whatever you believe in, if that's the universe, whatever it is, God, whatever that is, the spirit, whatever it is, love will connect you to that best part of who you are and will bring you the right answers almost every time. It squashes the ego. It helps you move past the fear. It helps you come up with the right answers. And it really grounds you to who you are inside. I'd say my soul is what I would say. And it creates miracles with yourself and others.
That's really powerful. And what I'm hearing you say, if I read between the lines when it comes to truth, is look inward for it. Don't look outward. Don't allow other people to tell you your truth. That's where we get in trouble.
We've all done it. But once you start to rely on yourself for the truth, it's so empowering and freeing. So you really look inward, not outward. I'm with you. With one exception, that when you can't find those answers, even though they're in there, it's okay to ask for help. But just know that you are the only one that can really know the true answers for yourself. Even if you asked for help, even if you went to this counselor or whatever, still do say they could give you advice, and then ask yourself, what is the truth? Always be your own best counsel in the end.
I love that. If someone's listening to this right now and they want to reach out, they want to know more about your books, where you're speaking next, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
My website, which is Terry with T-E-R-R-Y, Sidford, S-I-D-F-O-R-D.com. And everything is there. My books, Truth, Courage, Love, which is my memoir, and 100 Hearts Filled Out. And where I'm going to be speaking, my TED Talk, if you want coaching, all of it's there. I also have a podcast called Choose Courage. Love to hear from you. And you are stronger than you think you are, whoever's listening.
This was a great conversation. And I think there are a lot of people out there right now who maybe they have it all together. Maybe they are cruising along in life, but there's just that one little thing that's gnawing at them. They haven't been able to figure it out, and it's been 20 something years, and they're like, okay, I can put it on the back burner until they can't anymore. I so appreciate you talking about those scenarios, talking about how to explore overcoming it and start your own journey. But is there anything that you'd like to cover that we didn't talk about?
Yes, there's one thing I want to add to anybody that you just said that is just sitting there going, hey, I'm status quo is great. I'm good. And I'm happy for you. That's awesome. I had to ask my question to myself, have I lived my full potential? If you feel like you haven't done that, here's the reason why to do it. If I had that little dream I've thought about, I've had all these reasons why I don't want to do it or can't do it, is because when we live our full potential, then we are sharing our gifts that we're meant to share to the world, and we're going to change other people in the world. That's how big it is. That's how important it is.
That's great, because that's what this podcast is all about, is living a great life, living up to your full potential, and being really excited about it.
Yes. And thank you for this platform, for helping us see that and helping others see that. I really applaud you. This is a great podcast. I appreciate being the guest to share my story.
Oh, I love diving into this stuff, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate the work you're doing for people out in the world and the message you're spreading. And I would love to have a follow-up conversation sometime.
Yes, I would love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and be sure to come back next week. Oh, and can I ask a favor? I love connecting with people who have either led their own joyful rebellion or professionals who help others through that journey. So if you know someone like that, there's a big yellow button on the homepage at ajoyfulrebellion.com. I'd really appreciate you reaching out with a suggestion or introduction. Thanks again, and I'll see you back here next week.